All right. Well, Naomi Kemp, Child Evangelism in Central Alabama, thank you for joining us this morning. And remind me of your daughter's name.
This is Juliet.
Juliet. Yeah. Okay. She's just paying attention. See what's going on here.
She is.
Think about this. Take it in.
Well, you gave us in the prayer sheet, and some have that, and some maybe haven't seen it yet, but just begin maybe with an update on where you are with Child Evangelism Fellowship here in Central Alabama. Things kind of had a setback with COVID. Some clubs can meet on Zoom. Kind of describe how it is right now.
Absolutely, yeah. So I started as the coordinator in March of 2019, and we had a wonderful, exciting year. And then right at my one-year anniversary, the world shut down, and I was like, man, y'all really trial by fire when you start a new position, don't you? So, yeah, COVID has been, I mean, it's not been a happy word in anybody's mouth, but especially for children's ministry, because so much of it is getting to interact with the children. So we had to pivot. We did some packets the children could take home, and in a weird, wonderful silver lining, some of the leaders were able to call children at their homes and talk to more parents that way than they had in years. Wow. So, you know, God's always blessing, right? But with things opening up more this past fall, we had 6 Good News clubs that had opened up, and this spring we're at 7 or 8. So we're really starting to see a trend of places being more willing to have people come back in. We're looking forward to, I'm going to be offering mini workshops over the summer, either by Zoom or by coming to church to stay on a Thursday night for 2 hours, just to be able to kind of get people's feet wet back into ministry. And we've seen a lot of excitement about that because people are wanting to get back in the schools. So we're hoping to be able to burst the doors open and get back up to that number of 23 or 24 that we had prior to 2020. Do you want to touch the keyboard? Yeah. For those of you that joined a little bit later, this is my daughter, Juliet. She says hello. And my other daughter, Isabel, is crying because it's too early to be awake. But yeah, it's been really wonderful. But it's just been really wonderful. Just this past week, I was able to visit a club in Prattville, and they had 32 children in attendance. And just being able to see the kids talk to their leaders, and some of them even like do the elbow bump and stuff, has just been such a blessing. So we've really been able to get back into schools and get back into teaching them about God's love and provision. Yeah, we're now recruiting for our summer ministry. So if you know any teenagers between like 13 and 20 that are wanting to give part of their summer toward ministry, definitely send them my way, because we're looking at more locations opening up and we're going to need teachers. So I don't have to say we don't have the room for you. Cause that happened a few times last summer where people were like, we have this week available. And I was like, we already have 6 clubs that week and we just couldn't open it up again. So I never want to have to say, I'm sorry, we can't make you fit. But yeah, so that brings you up to speed a bit on ministry as it is. We've been opening up more. God has been blessing. A wonderful sister down in Greenville was able to have club again this spring. They have 3 students, and she was a little discouraged by that because the school has obviously a lot more. But I told her, hey, that is 3 more children still hearing the gospel because of you and your volunteers. So we're hoping that they'll gain some traction in the fall. But just really happy and excited to see what God has in store for us coming up.
Yeah. What is the time during the summer where that you do the youth and action, I guess it is? Is that
Yeah. Christian Youth in Action. We're huge fans of acronyms at CEF. Some people call us the alphabet organization.
Right.
So with CYIA, and the training week is June 5th through the 11th at a place in Clanton called Riley's Place. And then we ask that the student help out for at least 2 weeks of ministry between June and July. That's a Monday through Friday commitment. Yeah.
And then you mentioned board members turning over, and I haven't talked to William Van Hooser here, but I don't know if he's, I assume he's still on the board as far as I know.
He is still on the board, yes. Looking at, okay, yeah. You know, from day to day, if you send something, it's, whoop, oh, that's right. That's the thing that I sent you. Yeah, so the board, we have 6 people currently on the board, and we are looking to recruit some more because we do have, I think, 4 of them rotating off by the end of this year. So we're looking to find people that are excited about the ministry, give up one night a month for an hour and a half long Zoom meeting or in person, but also be able to just share the excitement and the love of CEF. William has been wonderful. Zach Shaw. Thank you.
Yeah.
They've both been really great. And I told them, I was like, all right, you need to start recruiting from Trinity.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten Zach was on too. So good.
Yeah. He's our current board chairman. Uh-huh. Mhm. But yeah, so if you know anybody that's, I mean, it's, I'm not saying it's a zero time commitment, because you do need to be actively talking about CEF and getting the word out there, but it's definitely worth a couple hours a month.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a wonderful thing to be able to walk up to a kid in Walmart and then be like, I remember you visited club last week. It's just, it makes me so happy. Yeah. But yeah, what were some of the other prayer requests that I sent y'all?
Yeah.
Opening up into our counties. I had a wonderful conversation with a lady over in Auburn, and we're hoping to be able to expand into that area. Her church is still a little hesitant to try to be getting into the schools this spring, but we're really hoping for it to open up in the fall. So if y'all could pray for that to expand, but you know, somebody was like, you're just trying to get back to where you are. Why are you talking about growing into the other counties? Because nothing is too big for God. You know, if we just put it out there and we pray for it, he will bless, you know? So we're trying to expand.
The counties where it's been active, I assume those are the ones that are closest around Montgomery County.
Yeah. Yeah, the closer they are to sort of our central hub, because it's easier for me to get out there, the more that they've heard about CEF. So we're really starting to put some miles on the van, trying to get into churches that are a little bit into the farther outreaches.
Yeah, it would seem like there's good potential for that. But it does take time and effort to get around and get people the word.
Well, it's especially because places haven't heard of CEF, it's even harder to try to get into churches to talk about CEF. So, you know, around Montgomery, people have kind of heard of it. They have a friend that's heard of it, so it's a little easier to get an invite. But cold calling places can be quite challenging. But we're starting to get some traction, especially in Auburn. There was a lady that just saw our name in the River Region Christians. She was looking at that at some restaurant that she and her husband went to, and she gave me a call, and she was so excited about it. So our name is getting out there. So, yeah, we're hoping to be able to expand into more of our 15 counties. And the eventual goal is to just be so big that we have to split chapters and they can have a director closer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you've probably done this already too, but Faith Radio could be another means of getting the word out. They through their magazine, but also they do interviews during sometime in the afternoon. I think it's when they're meeting out. You know, Billy Irvin's a pretty good contact to get you plugged into the right Bob Crittenden will be the guy to do it, but he'll do an interview sure. with you, even on the phone, that will then be aired on the radio.
That's true. Yeah, it has been a minute since we've done that, so that might be a way. We're some days it's a little bit like treading water, but.
yeah.
But yeah, that's most of our stuff that we've had on our hearts lately, just praying for these kids. We had a praise the Lord moment about 2 weeks ago now where a child came to know Jesus at one of our clubs. So we know that God is moving and blessing. Anybody have any pressing questions where you're like, hey, Naomi, you haven't talked about this yet?
Naomi, what denominations are usually the most responsive to having CEF clubs?
Having CEF clubs? Most denominations, because we keep our statement of faith pretty interdenominational, we basically just say, hey, Jesus died for your sins and rose again. And if you ask him to take away those sins, so it doesn't get into, I call it the weeds of Christianity, where it's just sort of the flavor profile of it all. Most of them are pretty open. Catholic churches have a little bit, we sometimes have a little bit of, doctrinal dispute, we'll call it. But other than that, it's fairly easy to be able to say CEF is a Christian organization that wants to partner with you. Baptist, Presbyterian, and Methodist tend to be the big three that we partner with the most, though. Although the church down in Greenville is Episcopalian, and when I told some of my coordinator friends across the country, they were like, you backed an Episcopalian church? And it's just, I loved how they got so excited about it. So. But yeah, you know, it's, she was like, you know, some of the stuff we get a little bit touchy on, but we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And, you know, they have with the kids, they have a time of this is the lesson. And then they say, this is what our church believes, and they tell them a bit more about their faith so the kids know that some of it's a little bit different. And I think that's actually kind of cool to be able to have the kids see that different perspective too. But yeah, I heard Tom talking about we came on an infant baptism Sunday. And I'm like, you know what? Baptists call it a dedication. Y'all have infant baptism. You know, it's pretty much the same thing. God is good.
Yeah, I don't think our pastor originally said dedication when he first came here. That word was not in, but he always says it now. It's part of the question that he asks the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. Anyway, we're finding common ground in a lot of ways, which is what we need.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Satan wins when we're divided on our little corners.
Oh yeah. And
go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, if we have disagreements, as long as it's not about the fact that Jesus loves us and died for our sins, then we can still cohabitate and be just fine.
Yeah. What's your sense? Are the schools still reluctant to open up, or is it more just clubs haven't reformed?
A little bit of both. People have gotten out of the habit of volunteering week to week, so that has been a bit of a challenge. Mostly it's principals are a little wary of starting to allow clubs back in just because it means all the paperwork of clubs out of organizations outside of campus coming in. But you can tell the places where we have a club, the principal was asking the church, hey, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? So it's a combination of volunteers are a little bit out of practice, but also just the places where we had a hard time getting in to begin with, we're having an even harder time now just because the principal is not as CEF friendly. So like, I'm helping out up in Birmingham. It's not part of our chapter, but they're sort of unincorporated right now. They're trying to reform, and so I'm helping out a wonderful volunteer up there, Kara Lancaster, And she is just having a bugger of a time getting in with this one principal at a school close by. So we're actually, she's going to a church that's right next door, seeing which of their kids actually go to the school. And she's going to have their parents contact the principal, see if she can get in the door that way. Just be like, hey, you actually know me because my child goes to the school. Can we talk a bit? So. Yeah, it's a bit of the volunteers not knowing, but it's mostly just if the principal was hesitant before, they're kind of using this as an excuse to not allow us back in. But, you know, if they can be stubborn, then I can be stubborn for Jesus.
Yeah.
Other questions, anybody?
Yes, with 40,000 volunteers, is there a central format that everybody follows, and how did they coordinate that? Training programs or what? Or is each chapter just kind of going?
We have what we call super seminars that we pull from to do the workshops. How each chapter does it is a little bit different just because of, yeah, do you want to answer the question? She tried, but she didn't really know. I'll fill in the details. Is that okay? Yeah, all right. But yeah, so each chapter does it a little bit differently, but we have these super seminars that we pull from. So that way there's cohesion in that sense. And, you have either like a full workshop Saturday or mini workshops where you encourage the volunteers to come. We have our big three where you teach an evangelistic Bible lesson and teaching the main points through the songs and teaching the memory verse. Those are kind of the big three workshops that headquarters heavily suggests we make sure that new volunteers get, so that way they really know how to do those aspects of the club. The counseling is also, if we can't get a volunteer to go to all of those workshops, counseling is our number one for, hey, talking to a kindergartner through fourth or fifth grader on their level with these biblical terms. That's a big one that we try to make sure new volunteers get into. But as far as requirements, we never require a volunteer to have to attend one of the workshops. We just make sure that we are attending club to make, to see how it's running and see if we can give any tips or changes to the volunteers. So whenever I go to a club, they're like, oh man, they're apologizing if something goes a little weird or the kids are more crazy. And I'm like, no, I'm here to encourage first. And then if you have questions or if you say Lazarus didn't rise from the dead, then we have a talk. But other than that, you know, we're preaching the gospel.
Yeah, they run good workshops, you know, very effective teacher training, and the curriculum is just real easy to use. So
yeah, that's one of the benefits of our curriculum is we've got, if you've never seen it, this is six lessons are in here and it has 60 pages. So your Bible lesson, you have a whole bunch of parts that are split. I was going to show it to you a little better, but she wants to be our Vanna White today. But you have a whole bunch of lessons that, like, they're split into sections so that you can easily digest it. There's even, like, a sidebar area that has extra tips for different teaching styles. And then when we do our workshops, we give hints, like, putting tabs in your Bible for specifically where to go during the lesson and stuff. So the CEF materials are actually rather comprehensive themselves, and then the workshops just open it up a bit. Our local volunteer teacher trainer, Savannah, has been doing it since 2010. She's been doing workshops, so she's pretty adept at it.
Other questions? Anybody?
If you had an outreach and you wanted kids that came to the outreach, they come with them, would that be like the devotional? Would that be a good thing to give them? Or what would be a good thing they could take home to their house that may, you know, from CEF?
Absolutely, yeah. So within the Good News Club stuff, they didn't have this back when I was teaching in like 06, but we've started, because they started asking the question, what about take-home stuff? And we started doing something called Quiet Time, and it's absolutely wonderful. It's a sheet that they take home and do a devotion throughout the week, and then they bring it back that next week, and they're able to get prizes and stuff, but it's able to get them in the Word daily. We also have something called Wonder Devotionals that is a 60-day devotional on a common theme. I was helping clean out the state office because we were looking for a new state director, and Noelle was like, hey, Naomi, there's a whole bunch of old Wonder Devotionals here. It's maybe 3 or 4 years old. And I was like, dibs! So I've been able to bless some of the clubs with some free ones, but they're actually like, they're pretty cheap. They're maybe $2 each or something like that. So we actually just revamped them. CEF HQ was like, we need to give them a few more colors, just some different topics. So pretty excited about those coming down the pike soon. But yeah, that's one way that we're able to really reach out to the kids during the week, because our main goal is to get them into the Bible believing church that is coming to volunteer during the week. But you and I both know sometimes the kids are just not able to get to church on Sunday, whether it's the parents or transportation. So that's one way that we're able to really get into their lives more than just on Tuesday or Thursday afternoon. So yeah, those Wonder Devotionals are a great addition within the last 15 years or so.
How old do you need to be to get one of those, like 8 or 9 or 10? Or what would be the, probably the
reading levels, probably more like third grade, maybe?
Yeah, I was about to say, for the Wonder Devotionals, reading level is more around third grade-ish. For the Quiet Time sheets, a first or second grader can digest those pretty easily. Okay. Yeah, and those are just available within the curriculum that you have in your packet here.
Other questions?
Do you teach them any Bible songs or hymns or music during the club time?
Yeah, so we had just doing our own, we started out with like parody songs. Like I know the baseball theme. I go, do you know about Jesus? He can save you from sin. It's totally ruined for me. I mean, in a good way, because it talks about Jesus. But then we transferred to doing original songs by CEF, and then people were saying, you know, we have our memory verse time. Why don't we make that into a song? So about 5 or 6 years ago, they actually started doing the Bible verses, not only as the memory verse time, but also as a song, so that the kids can really get into that as well. We have a couple of older visuals for hymns. That's not really something that got much traction, so they kind of veered away from that. But I do know a couple of clubs that will just make up on some poster board and actually sing hymns in clubs to tell the kids about just the wonder of the older songs. So that's one of the great things about being such a flexible program. But yeah, a lot of the verses have a song to them now, where the kids can go onto our YouTube page called Unite TV, and they can see the songs and get them stuck in their heads, and they're wonderfully catchy.
Bubba and I used the videos, and we were in the library, and they had just a great screen and all the videos, you know, connections. And so neither he or I sing all that well, but the videos were way more high energy than we were going to do anyway. And the kids loved them.
Kind of make a huge view, though. Music is a very important part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, no, I always joke around. Jesus said, make a joyful noise. He didn't say it had to be melodious. So, you know, it's, and kids are, you know, they're a lot more forgiving than you think. If you are there to love on them, if you are there to show them God's love, if you can barely carry a tune, they're still going to sing it with you.
Actually, we used another school that didn't have the screen, but we used the CDs that had music. And, you know, just the playlist there was pretty good. So, and the kids were just out of a boombox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see a raised hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did that a lot.
Hey, Julia. I mean, Juliet.
The first love the EF music. We get it off of iTunes. It helps memorizing scripture because we don't have a Good News Club at our school, but we do love the music.
It's a public school, not a
Any more questions? I guess, yeah. Okay, we're going to pray for you, and if you need to exit the screen, do what. Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, Dad.
Bye, Juliet.
Dad to the rescue. Okay. Hey, Matt.
Hey. Will you start us with prayer? And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time with Naomi and to hear more about Child Evangelism Fellowship. Lord, it is such a tremendous ministry. It's been around for so many years and is scattered around the whole world. So, and we have been told the importance of young people hearing about the gospel at an early age, and what a tremendous opportunity here is. So we thank you for Naomi's leadership. We do lift up the individual clubs, Lord, that they might be opened back up, Lord, that volunteers would come forward, that we can get out of this lockdown mentality of COVID and go back into the schools. The schools, particularly the public schools, desperately need to hear the gospel. And yes, what I pray is soften the hearts of some of these principals that might not want them to come back in. And there are many principals that know that the Good News Club make a difference for their students. So soften their hearts, open up the schools, bring in the volunteers, Lord. Let us be involved in reaching children that normally might not be reached. We are blessed to have children's ministry in our church, but every church is not. So we just thank you for what Naomi is doing for Child Evangelism Fellowship and the many people that are volunteers, Lord, continue to build this ministry. And I pray this in Christ's name.
A great and eternal Heavenly Father, we pray for the Child Evangelism Fellowship and pray that you'll guide more people to be volunteers and establish more chapters and expand this great youthful organization. We pray, oh God, that with the changing attitude about parents being involved in school boards, that are given opportunity to open up more schools to the organization and establish more chapters. I pray that you'll be with Naomi and all the people that work and volunteer at this ministry. In Christ's name we pray.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you that CEF can go into the public schools. You know, that can be a place of great spiritual warfare. So we just pray that you would go ahead of CEF in Central Alabama and open up opportunities. We pray that more people in our area who have a heart for kids and them coming to Christ, that they would learn about CEF and see what a wonderful program it is and how they can be involved. And they can go to their schools and say, can we have a club at this school? And we pray that for the funding of CEF in Central Alabama, that they'll have everything that they need. And we just pray that, that people in Central Alabama will truly see how important it is for children to hear the good news, because most of the people that come to have a saving knowledge or so we just pray for the ministry in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time with Naomi and for this ministry that has been going for many, many years. And the children who have come to faith through it and are now adults, and I would be one of those. And we just thank you for the way and the many ways in which you have taken the gospel to people, and Good News Clubs and the summer programs have been very effective. And we thank you for the opportunity it is to be in our public schools, the privilege that it is, not one to be wasted. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for those principals that are open to it. And we pray that more principals would be welcoming, and that the accounts of how this changes the climate of the school, even with a few kids in the club, seems to be amazing. And yet, why should we be surprised? Mm-hmm. Thank you for those who are on the board with Naomi, and for William and Zach here at Trinity Church. And I pray that more people would be a part of this as well as it goes into the future. We do pray for the clubs that are meeting this spring, and that preparation would be made to begin anew and reopen schools for the fall, that you would sustain this ministry and use it to your glory. It's in all these things we give you praise and we give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Do y'all mind if I pray for you real quick?
Okay, yeah, please.
Dear Father, I just thank you so much for this band of believers at Trinity Presbyterian. It warms my heart to be able to walk into a church and just feel your presence and your love in that place. I know that they're going through some stuff with the sanctuary remodel, but we know that where two or more are gathered, there you are in their midst, and they've made a wonderful transition into their banquet hall to be able to still fellowship and just be able to hear about you. I pray as all of these wonderful believers go about their week that they will be able to shine your light in their places of work, in their grocery stores, wherever they go, so that people will be able to just know the aroma of you about them. Dear Father, I feel it here in this Zoom call, so I know that they're just getting into your word and being able to tell others about you. I thank you so much for being able to visit and meet with them today to talk about CEF. I pray as we move forward that we'll be able to get back into Forest Avenue with them and be able to find the volunteers that hear your calling. I thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.